Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preached this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
Romans 8, 18 through 25. I believe that the present suffering is nothing compared to the coming glory that is going to be revealed to us. The whole creation waits breathless with anticipation for the revelation of God's sons and daughters. Creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice. It was the choice of the one who subjected it, but in the hope that the creation itself will be set free from slavery to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of God's children. We know that the whole creation is groaning together and suffering labor pains up until now, and it's not only the creation. We ourselves, who have the Spirit as the first crop of the harvest, also groan inside as we wait to be adopted and for our bodies to be set free. We were saved in hope. If we see what we hope for, that isn't hope. Who hopes for what they already see? But if we hope for what we don't see, we wait for it with patience.
This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So friends, this Do No Ham series has really been something special for me. So for those of you, this is your first Sunday. Hey, welcome. We're so glad you're here. This first Sunday in a long time. We've been doing this series called Do No Ham. Yeah, it should probably say Do No Harm, but it's about adventures and misunderstanding, missing the point just a little bit. For all the things that the church actually says, there's about 10 or 15 other things that people say the church says, but we really don't. And we wanted to take a whole sermon series to kind of look at what some of those sayings might be. Our first week, we talked about how some people like to say, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. And we kind of worked through how no one ever wants to hear that, but also how that's definitely not in scripture either. And I forgot my cue. If you're a kid, now's your chance to go with Miss Allie. We will miss you while you're gone. Parents are like, you better dismiss them because I'll leave. but yeah, if you're a kiddo, now's your chance to go have a lot of fun. We will miss you while you're gone. Can't wait for you to come back. And then lastly, we talked a little bit about this idea of karma. Karma being this idea that when you do good, you get good. When you do bad, you get bad. And I learned that a lot of us, we really like the idea of karma. This idea that like we can be good enough to earn God's like love and care. Or other people can be bad enough that God particularly doesn't like them. But we talked about how scripture offers so much more than just that. So much more than the idea that you get what you deserve, more that we get God's justice. But today, friends, today, it's the Mac Daddy of them all. Everything happens for a reason, gives hope and security to so many people, and yet we cannot find it in Scripture. And the reason we can't find it in Scripture is because it paints a picture of a God that manipulates and controls. We can't find it in Scripture because that's not the God that we serve. And instead, we believe in a God that loves and cares. Today, may we hear a message of a God who has come down with work boots on. Today, the thing I'm going to say a lot, the first thing you can write in your bulletin, or if you want to take digital notes, you can actually go to our website and use the sermon notes button and type this in. It's this. In everything, God is near to us. In everything, God is near to us. One of the great privileges as your pastor, one of the great responsibilities as a pastor is to be with you in some of the best times of your life. I, at last count, have 5 weddings in the next 6 months. So if you want to hang out on a Saturday, I'm busy. And so what I get to do is I get to do, you know, some premarital counseling. I get to talk about how, you know, what a wedding service looks like. For those of you thinking about getting married, just remember, no one's ever said, man, I wish that ceremony went longer. I hate that I'm going to cocktail hour right now. Just, you know, that's just a free commercial there for you. I get to be in those moments where I get to baptize your kids and we get to celebrate together. And I know this sounds strange to say, but I get to be with you in the worst times of your life as well. when the diagnosis doesn't go the way that we want to. I've been in many a hospital room, many a hospice room, in those spaces, those thin spaces where the space between life and what's beyond is there, and I get to be in those spaces. And so sometimes I feel like my full-time job is talking about why everything is happening. So often I'll talk to people and they'll say that everything happens for a reason, and my response is always, I hope that that gives you hope. I hope that fills you with love. I hope that gives you the sort of care and security that you need. And then I also know that at some point, we're going to have to really look at what that means. Because when we say that everything happens for a reason, there's someone or something doing everything, and that reason is not our reason to know. And oftentimes, it can lead us to say, now, why did they do that to me? But today, I want you to hear that in everything, God is near to us. And also, it's important for you to know, it's not bad to believe everything happens for a reason, but it is not a firm foundation. Sometimes, I know this sounds silly to say, but like sometimes I kind of forget that like I'm a pastor, like I'm y'all's pastor. And so like I'll say things like, hey, do you mind if we talk a little bit, you know, later on or something? And then I realize that like for some of y'all, that's like, oh, the principal needs to talk to me. Like, but like the God principal, in my office, I got rid of, I used to have this big desk. Like I felt like I should be, you know, buying and selling futures or something, which I don't even know what that is. None of you do either. But people would sit on the other side of it. And I'm like, I feel like I'm in like St. Peter's throne. And we don't have one of those. We just have chairs I bought off Amazon. So I try to make it a little bit more comfortable. And so when I say that, you know, everything happens for a reason is not a firm foundation, just hear that it's okay if that means something to you, if you believe in that. Just know that it's not a firm foundation. I think sometimes that I'm on the planet for two or three different things. I'm here to be Annabelle's dad, Amanda's husband, but I'm here to listen. I love to listen to you people and to other people as well. To be able to share in that sacred space where I get to hear, I get to listen to what's going on in your life. But I wonder if we all together, this church exists to undo some of the hurt and trauma that the church has caused. I grew up in a fundamentalist church. You've heard me talk about them before. I grew up reading the King James Version of the Bible just like Jesus did, wearing a suit every Sunday again just like our Lord did. Both of those are jokes anyways. And those Sundays were so filled with love. You know, the smell of Marlboro Red cigarettes and Dunkin' Donuts coffee in those pews as we sang the same five hymns on rotation. And you may have heard me tell you about the piano player, the backup piano player that we had, only knew how to play Blueberry Hill. And so we would sing like, just as I am. You've heard this story before if you've been here before. And, you know, it wasn't perfect. 60, 70 people on a Sunday. But it was so home for me. It was a safe place. I experienced love and care from people that weren't just my family. People loved little Mike. And even though I had a wicked bad speech impediment and I talked nonstop, you know, the fact that no one could understand me did not slow me down from talking all the time. Yap, 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 yap. People would listen and they would care. They would lend an ear. But they also taught me about a Jesus that was so scary. Remember being 5 or 6 years old, crying myself to sleep because I didn't know where I would go when I died. I would be tortured over the sins of my life, and I was 7. What sins did I have? But I knew that they were so many, and I was so afraid of God because that is what my church taught me. Maybe some of you came here today carrying some of that trauma, some of that hurt. In fact, I know that you do because I get to talk to you. The vast majority of this church is made up of ex-evangelicals. People that grew up in the evangelical church got taught a Jesus that was not working in their lives and oftentimes was very, very scary, and we get to offer something different. And so sometimes I think I'm on this planet, and I think all of you might be as well, and we get to undo some of that harm. And I think if we dig down into that harm, if we look underneath the layers of the onion, as Shrek might say, we find at the center this phrase of everything happens for a reason. Because when we say that everything happens for a reason, we end up blaming God for all of the things we see around us, the good things, the wonderful things that make life worth living, but also the terrible things that break our hearts. We end up blaming God for all of those things, and we get a picture of a God that isn't right. And I'm passionate about undoing the pain caused by the church. Today, I want you to hear that in everything, God is near. Because when we say everything happens for a reason, what we're really describing is we'd really like a big brother God. Raise your hand if you are a big brother. Oh, okay, a few, okay. Raise your hand if you have a big brother. Yeah, you have a big brother. The thing about my childhood, growing up in Boston, we lived in this small, like, beach town. And so my parents, I don't know if this is the best call, kind of just let me go. I would ride my bike everywhere at, like, 6 or 7 years old. I don't think, like, you know, CPS can get them now. The statute of limitations have ended. But, like, I would just run around. Like, I was, like, some New York City kid. And I'd ride my bike everywhere I wanted. And I'd make all these, like, little hoodlum friends. And we would do, you know, hoodlum stuff. And it was super fun. And you would make fun of each other and whatever. But I remember that there were friends that had bigger brothers. And they got treated differently. Because when you're 7 years old and a 14-year-old asks you if you've been messing with their little brother or little sister, you know that the answer is no, right? And sometimes as followers of Jesus, that's what we want God to be, the sort of big brother that shows up and enforces and regulates. You know, God loves everyone, but I'm his favorite, right? We have this sort of belief that, like, you know, I'm God's favorite. That's the one that God loves the most. And we craft this image that if everything happens for a reason, then everything that's good is happening because God loves me and I get what I want. But this sort of dualistic view of the world leaves us bound up. We get caught in this sort of arithmetic between what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong, what we want, what we don't want. And we end up assigning God's task list in such a way that stops us from being able to really live. It binds us up. It keeps us from really living. And instead today, I want you to hear that in everything, God is near to us. Everything happens for a reason has plenty of verses that if you look at it just the wrong way, really backs it up. But we can make scripture say anything that we want it to. You can read scripture and put into those words whatever you want it to say. We can do what scholars call eisegesis. Can everyone say eisegesis? Eisegesis is just letting the scripture tell you what you want it to say. All of a sudden, if you read the Bible in such a way, it can tell you that God hates the people that you hate and loves the people that you love. You can read scripture in such a way that scripture says so many different things that is super convenient to the way that you live. And friends, let me tell you, that is not the best way to read God's word. Because what ends up happening is God ends up looking like you, and you're all very lovely. But if God looks like you, if God looks like me, we're in a lot of trouble, right? And so when we read scripture, we have to be careful because I can do all things through a verse taken out of context. You know, when I read scripture and I want scripture to say certain things, I could do all sorts of things through a verse taken out of context. Y'all, if you love Jeremiah 29:11, I'm so happy for you. I'm so sorry for what I'm about to do. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace, not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope." Jeremiah 29:11. If that verse gives you comfort, please allow it to still give you comfort. But hear this. This is not a description of God saying, "I've got a script that I need you to follow line by line, or your life is going to be terrible." This is also not a scripture saying, I have everything sorted out, so everything is going to go perfectly great for you. Jeremiah 29:11 is a prophecy for the people of Israel in a particular time, in a particular place. The beginning of this verse, verses 9 and 10, describe the way that God is going to show up in the life of Israel. 12 and 13 describes how things are going to go really, really bad and how things are going to get put back together. It is not a description of our own lives. It is not a promise that God has a plan for all of us with peace and not disaster. Now, that being said, it doesn't mean that God is crafting some sort of terrible plan to ruin your life. Just because Jeremiah 29:11 isn't about you or about me doesn't mean that God is not involved in our lives. But what it does mean is that we have a certain level of freedom, a certain level of hope, because this passage is written to a particular people in a particular time. Instead of having a God with a script, we have a God with a work ethic. Instead of having a God with a script, we have a God with a work ethic. Because in everything, God is near to us. Our psalm, read to us by Hannah this morning, tells us where our help comes from. And it's not some sort of divine script that everyone has to follow. I remember the hours and hours I lamented as a 20-year-old, wanting to know God's will. And I'm talking about, like, I needed to know what grad school I was supposed to go to. I needed to know what sort of relationships, what friendships I was supposed to go to, begging for just one burning bush. How hard is that, O God of the universe? One audible voice, you know what I mean? To say, go to Emory. You know, like, that's all I really wanted. God, I would listen to it. I would beg for it. And that's not what came. But instead, our help, everyone say help, comes from God. Because if we could not choose God, we could not love God. If we could not love God, we could not know God. In our chapel campus, there are beautiful stained glass windows that describe the life of Jesus. Jesus came and dwelt among us. You've heard me tell you this before. I hope to tell you about it for the rest of my life. But the God of the universe came and dwelt among us. There's this one stained glass window that shows Jesus at his workbench when he was a carpenter. Our Lord got splinters. You ever had a splinter, you know, and it gets itchy and it gets hot and you can't get it out, but you can see it, right? And it hurts so bad. You go to open a door and it smarts. It's so painful. The God of the universe did that before antibiotics, right? Neosporin was not on Mary's shelf, and Jesus decided to be a carpenter. You look at other stained glass windows in the chapel campus, you see a picture of the Holy Family, Joseph and Mary and Jesus is a newborn, and Mary is on a donkey. Do you think that was a fun ride? You think it's fun to be a newborn on the back of a donkey? No, it's terrible. Do you think it's fun to be, you know, 3 weeks postpartum on the back of a donkey? No, it's not. And yet, the God of the universe, that is how the God of the universe shows up and is near us. Instead of having a marionette working the strings of our life, we have a God that comes down next to us and says, what are we going to do? How are we going to fix this? I've told this story before, but not only did I have a speech impediment, I was a real winner as a kid. I also had a hard time reading. Reading was not easy for me. I didn't do well, didn't take to it, and I needed a lot of help. I was talking to another parent that also was describing how their kid was having a hard time reading, and that they described how the aide would come into class and sit next to them and ask questions about the reading. Like, hey, kiddo, what's that word say? Oh, I thought it said this. And in that way, the teacher taught the kid how to read a little bit better by making the kid feel as if they were teaching the adult, right? Do you understand this? So, like, the adult sits next to the kid, makes the kid feel like the teacher. And as they're describing it, I'm like, that sounds like what happened to me in fourth grade. And I was in my 30s when I realized that that adult woman was not coming to fourth grade to learn how to read. I was convinced that I taught this woman how to read into my 30s. And it worked so well. I don't want to brag or anything, but I totally know how to read. And it worked for me. It gave me the sort of agency and confidence that I talk for a living now and I read for a living. It was this wonderful gift. Friends, I want you to see that as the image of Jesus. The image of Jesus that I grew up with was the Jesus at the front of the room just demanding that we learn how to read because the words are right there and you can figure it out yourself. I have a mission. I have a vision. I have a plan for you and you have to figure it out yourself. Friends, what if the image of Jesus you could leave here with today? So Jesus that sits down next to a kid that can't read very well and asks, what are we going to do with this world? How can we fix your neighborhood? Your heart is broken. What community can we find for it to be healed? How can this world be saved? God can fix it. God can snap God's fingers and fix it. But if we could not choose God, we could not love God. If we could not love God, we could not know God. The world will let you down. God will be with you. God will sit down next to you and ask, how are we going to fix this, buddy? How are we going to fix this, friend? In everything, God is near to us. The Romans passage that Amanda read for us this morning, I don't know if you've ever heard someone preach off of this passage before, but it stood out to me as something really important and a new way of kind of viewing everything happens for a reason. Because friends, when we say everything happens for a reason, we presuppose a good world. We presuppose that everything is happening the way that it's supposed to, that everything is how it's supposed to be, that everything happens for a reason. But friends, I don't know if you've watched the news ever, but I think you can tell that the world is broken, but that Christ, through the church, is putting it back together. The world is broken, but Christ, through the church, is putting it back together. When things go wrong, it is not evidence of divine apathy or divine malice or even worse, divine scheming. Instead, it is evidence of our work to be done as the church. Give me any headline, give me any terrible news story, give me any sorrow that you carry in your heart today, and I will show you a time that the church has not done her job just yet. Every bit of brokenness, every bit of sorrow, every bit of pain is simply a thing for the church to do. It is not evidence of divine apathy, divine malice, or divine scheming. It is evidence of the work to be done. Because in everything, God is near to us. Our passage today reminds us that all of creation is begging for a new life. All of creation is begging for something new, something better, something filled with hope. And the church is who will bring it. Over a year ago, we were given the opportunity to have a second campus in Highland City. And I'll be really vulnerable with you guys right now. My gut was saying, we already have one campus that we're trying to make live and be alive and be vibrant. Like, really? There are so many churches in this town. It's like there's the only thing we have more of is Publixes, and there's a lot of Publixes. There might be more churches than Publixes, y'all. There's so many churches. Does Highland City really need another church? Apparently the answer is yes, because the world is begging for something new. There's plenty of churches in Highland City, but there's no church like Shepherd's in Highland City. There's no church that's going to preach the gospel in this way and live the gospel in this way. We get to be that for them because all of creation is begging for a new life. In everything, God is near to us. Everything happens for a reason, is a thing that gives people a lot of hope. But today our message is that everything happens. God is near. Everything happens. God is near. When tragedy occurs, the church gets to say, this too shall pass. And it will pass because of us. We as a church get to say, it ran in our neighborhood until it ran into us. It ran in our world until it ran into us. We as the church, we're going to be able to stand up and say, this is not how it will be forever. All of creation groans in labor pains looking for something new. And we as the church get to bring it. The world is begging for change and we get to bring that exact change because in everything, God is near to us. I want to offer an alternative to everything happens for a reason this morning. And it's a lot of work. Because what ends up happening is that the tragedy of the world becomes our business as a church. That the whole world becomes our parish. the whole world becomes our business. Everything happens. That doesn't mean it's right. So the alternative to everything happens for a reason becomes the church caring about the world as if it is our own very neighborhood. We care about the tragedies around. Because in everything, God is near to us. Christ is near when tragedy strikes. But here's the most important thing. The alternative to everything happens for a reason is that all of us, we are the body of Christ. We don't believe that Jesus is here among us. We believe that Jesus is sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead, which always made me, you know, as a kid, wonder, like, how quick do I need to be? And so Jesus is not here in Lakeland. He's not there in Highland City, but boy, is he here in this space with all of us. We are the body of Christ united together, living out the resurrection and getting to say that love wins. That in all of these things, when all of the suffering we see is manifest in the saddest stories you've ever seen. It's been a hard week for news, y'all. It's been hard to look at social media. It's been hard to read the news. And in every single moment, I get to see the work the church has left to do. Because in everything, God is near to us. I served a church in Winter Park before I became the pastor here at Shepherd's. I was there for 6 years. And they had a Bible study for those that had lived longer. It was an old people Bible study. Anyways. There's a wonderful woman there who grew up in Japan, and she grew up during World War II. And her city, like every other city on that island, was decimated by war. The United States bombed it into oblivion, as she said. And when she was a little girl, after the war was over, people came to rebuild her city. They came and they moved debris. They came and they built houses. They went on a mission trip. And this is very important, and one of my favorite parts of the story. She said, and they were the most handsome men I had ever seen in my life. And I asked, who are they? What are they? They said that they were Methodist missionaries. And I kid you not, she literally said, well, now I'm a Methodist. They were so handsome that she decided to become a Methodist. And then in her later years, I'm not going to guess the age, but it was a lot of it, she became a Methodist. She found the Methodist church. I think she moved to the States and looked up in the Yellow Pages, local Methodist church, and she's like, I'm going to find me a man. And I do actually think she married a Methodist pastor. And what a beautiful reality that when war struck, when the most uncreative, foolish things that we can do, warfare as human beings, you know, the particulars of World War II aside, when homes are destroyed, who shows up? A bunch of real handsome Methodists, right? And then everything happens for a reason. Well, see, that's why World War II happened. So that young woman could meet a nice, handsome Methodist. Grow up. Right? I mean, come on, friends. Like, yeah, we clap for handsome Methodists, you know? Hey, I'm going to start a support group for handsome Methodist men. Some of you can come. I'm just kidding. All of you. You're so beautiful. And what we get to see instead is that in everything, God is near to us. In everything. In the destruction of cities, in warfare, laying waste to whole communities, we get to see God being near to us. Giving comfort to a scared little girl. Giving courage to young men who needed to get on a boat and start sailing. And to start picking up the debris from a breakdown of communication. When I get to sit in hospital rooms, I feel that holy space that is sorrow, that is tears. I get to feel God in that room. I get to sit and hear stories of beautiful lives well lived and pain and questioning and uncertainty. And in everything, God is near to us. So I got two action points I want you to have today so you can try and put this into action. I don't want you to just hear these words. Before the first one, I do want to say, if someone tells you that everything happens for a reason and you don't believe that, I want you to just nod and love them and listen, okay? Like I said a couple weeks ago, if this Do No Ham series becomes a chance for you to be haughty, then I will unpreach it. And I will tell you that God won't give you more than you can handle and that karma's real. And karma's not real. But you just know to react with love and care. But the two action points that I have for you. The first is I want you to try and take the world less personally. When I let go of the idea of everything happens for a reason, I was able to just kind of experience life and not feel as if I was the main character. Everything happens for a reason turns your life into the Truman Show. And if you ever watched that movie, it's not good for Truman, right? If you feel like the main character, all of a sudden hurricanes become about you. And honey, we're just not that important, you know? And try and take the world a little less personally. The second is this, I want you to ask God how you can show up when it is needed. I want you to ask God how you can show up when it is needed. How can you be that small voice asking, how are we going to fix this? What are we going to do? How can we show love in this world? Because in everything, God is near to us. And all of us, we get to carry God into every corner of our neighborhood, which is the entire world. In everything, God is near to us. Let's pray together.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week and be blessed.